মুলায় সাধু পৃষ্ঠ হম ভবদ্ভি লোকমঙ্গলম যৎকৃতা কৃষ্ণ সংশ্লিষ্ট জিনাত্মা সুপ্রতীব is the old conversation between great sage Śrīla Prabhupāda and many Brahmins assembled in Naimisharana. What is this child? So this Śrīla Gosvāmī, the speaker, is congratulating the assembly on account of their inquiring about Krishna. Krishna Sankrishna. Yat Krita Krishna Sankrishna. You have inquired on a very nice subject matter about Krishna and about dharma. Jagrita Krishna Sang Krishna Bhavadhi Lokamangala. This kind of question is very auspicious for everyone. When we inquire about Krishna and we speak about Krishna, we are both benefited. So you are very glad when you ask questions about Krishna and about dharma. Because those who have read Bhagavad Gita, they know that Krishna appeared for two purposes. One purpose is dharma sahasthapanarthaya, for re-establishing religious principles. And ultrana sadhanam vinashaya cha duskita, to give protection to the sadhu. Sadhu means those who are devotees of God. They are called sadhu. And non-devotees, they are called duskrita. Duskrita means those who are always engaged in sinful activities. They are called duskrita. Paritrana sadhuna vinashaya cha duskrita. Two purposes. Krishna's appearance is meant for two purposes. So, the question was that Bruhi Yogeshwari Krishna Brahmani Dharma Varmani Shyam Tasyam Adhuno Priti Dharma Kam Saranangataha. Krishna appeared for re-establishing the religious principles, but after his disappearance, who has taken charge for this department? That was the question. So, Śrīla Gosvāmī is congratulating them. that this coastal is very auspicious. Lokamangala. Loka means this world, and mangala means auspicious. So first of all, he is explaining what is dharma. Dharma is translated in English as religion. But actually, it does not convey the real import of dharma. As I have many times explained in these meetings, dharma means some particular characteristic which you cannot change. That is called dharma. Dharma does not mean a particular type of faith. Faith is different. Faith is followed blind. By social customs or something else. Faith is different. But dharma, either is change social custom, country, time, space, it cannot be changed. That is not. So, that dharma is enacted by the Supreme Personality of God. Just like Krishna says, dharma samasthapanartha, for the matter of re-establishing the principles of dharma. So there is a difference of understanding between dharma and religion. Although the Sanskrit word dharma is translated into English as religion. Religion in the dictionary, it is expressed as faith. But dharma is defined. Dharma you cannot change in whichever condition you are. You have to follow the special characteristics. And that I have already explained. That special characteristic is that every living entity is engaged in service for others. Every living entity. Human beings, birds, beasts, animals, every living entity is giving service to somebody else. That is dharma. Therefore, Bhagavata is explaining the nature of dharma. What is dharma? It is said here, savai pungsang paro dharma jyatu bhakti radho khaji. That is first class religion, which teaches how to render service to the Supreme Personality of God. That is first class. There is no consideration of which type of dharma or faith you are following. It doesn't matter. You may become a Christian, you may become a Mohammedan, you may become a Hindu, or whatever. There are many religious sects or faiths all over the world. But our this Krishna consciousness movement, which is called Bhagavad Dharma. Bhagavad Dharma means relationship with God and execution of our duties in that relationship. That is called Bhagavad. First of all, we must know what is God. then we must know what is our relationship with God. Then, as soon as relationship is known, then what is our duty? That's why if you are admitted in some institution or in some office, what is our relationship? So, everyone, every religion accepts God is great. Some total definition. That's a fact. God is great. And we are mining small. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is stated, Mamai Vangsa Jiva Bhuta. God says, Krishna says, that all these living entities, they are my part and parcel. Part and parcel means, we can understand very easily, just like this finger is part and parcel of my body. Everyone can understand it. So we are part and parcel of God. Take the whole body of God, the Virat Murti or the gigantic universal core in which everybody lies, you take. So every one of us is part of that universal body. Mamaiva. So, the same example, the finger or the one piece of hair, whatever it is, it is the part and parcel of the body, whole combined together. It makes the body. Similarly, we all, living entities, in different forms, there are 8,400,000 of forms altogether. Every one of us, not only human beings, but also animals, bees, birds, trees, plants, insects, everyone, they are all part and parcel of the Supreme. Just like the hair, a piece of hair is also part and parcel of the body. When hair is picked up, you feel pains and pain. When the finger is pinched, you feel pains and pleasure. Because they are part and parcel. Now, this is our relationship with God. Part and parcel. God or Krishna is the whole, and we are part and parcel. Then what is our duty? If this relationship is accepted, then what is the duty of the part and parcel? The duty of the part and parcel is to serve the whole. Anyone can understand. This finger is part and parcel of my body. So as the body deserves, the finger is working. I desire the finger may work here like this, immediately work. So, there is no difficulty to understand what is our duty. Our duty is to serve the Supreme Whole. But we have manufactured so many duties. This service is there. Everyone is engaged in some sort of service. But the program of service, they are different. Somebody thinking, that I must render service to my nation. Another is thinking that I must render service to my society. Another is thinking I must render service to my parents. So, either you take family-wise, or bodily-wise, or society-wise, or community-wise, or national-wise, or humanity-wise, they're all imperfect. Unless it is extended up to the Supreme Krishna, then it is perfect. Any service you do, service you have to render, either to your personal body, or to your family, or to your society, or to your community, or to the human nation, or to the whole humanity. Service everyone is doing, all in the office. That is our characteristic. We render some service. Therefore, the Bhagavad says that is complete service. Our dharma means the characteristic duty. That duty is to render service. So, Srimad Bhagavat says, savai punsa paro dharma. That type of service is first class, transcendental. There are two kinds of services, paro and aparo. In Sanskrit, paro means transcendental, and apara means material, spiritual or material. Because we have to understand matter and spirit. Everything is material or spiritual, mundane or transcendental. So, here Bhagavad says, paro dharma. Paro dharma means spiritual. Material dharma, temporary. Just like if you feel yourself as part and parcel of the American nation, if I feel myself as part and parcel of Indian nation, this is not paro, this is aparo. Because your relations with America or an Indian's association with India is temporary. You may remain as American, say for 100 years. Not so much, generally 50, 60, 70, at most 100 years. Then after 100 years, as soon as your body changes, even in human form of body, he may not be American, he may be China. Or, if not human form of body, then we may become something else. God or dog or... There is no guarantee. Because after you give up this body, you are completely under the grief of material nature. The material nature will award you a particular type of body according to your want. So as soon as the body is changed, the whole atmosphere is changed. You are no longer American. You are no longer Indian. You are something else. Therefore, your characteristics of rendering service to the nation, that is not permanent. That is temporary. Apara. Apara means temporary inferior. But because your soul, spirit soul, part and parcel of God, he has got a particular duty. That is eternal duty. That eternal duty is described here. Savai punsa paro dharma jato bhakti radhokhaja. Radhokhaja. Radhokhaja, this Sanskrit word, is applicable to this absolute truth. Akhaja, adhokhaja. Akhaja means experimental knowledge. Things which you can perceive by your present senses. Just like you can touch, you can understand a thing by touching, if it is hard or soft, liquid or solid. You can smell, you can hear, so many sensual activities. So, things which you can perceive by your sensual activities, they are called direct knowledge, or knowledge by experiment, but which is beyond your experiment. And that is called adhokhaja. Adhokhaja means beyond your sense perception. So, God's another name is adhokhaja, means beyond our perception. You cannot understand God by directly seeing, or directly smelling, or directly hearing, or directly tasting, or touching. It's not possible at the present moment. Unless you are spiritually advanced, unless our seeing power is rectified, our hearing power is modified. In this way, when our senses are purified, then we can hear about God, we can see God, we can smell God, we can touch God. That is possible. To training in the science, how to see God, how to hear God, how to touch God, by your senses. That is possible. That science is called devotional service, or Krishna consciousness. So therefore, Bhagavad says, that is first-class religious system, by which you can develop your dormant service attitude for God. That is first-class religion. Now, everyone can test which one is first-class religion. Because by the result of such activities, one will be able to render service to the Supreme. When you render service to somebody, unless you understand something about him, you cannot render service. That's not possible. You cannot render service in the area. You must have some understanding that here I am actually rendering service. That is realization. If I say that you do something like this blindly, you cannot be doing for a long time on my request. You can do it for some time. But unless you understand why you are doing, whether you are deriving any benefit out of it, you cannot prolong that activity. Therefore, the religion or the process of transcendental activities by which one can render service to the Supreme Lord, that is first class religion. This is the definition given by Bhagavad. Don't try to understand this is Christian religion, this is Hindu religion, this is Mohammedan religion, or this is something higher. But try to understand whether that process of religion is teaching you how to love God. That is it. Savai unsa paro dharma jato bhakti radhakari. Bhakti means rendering service. So, when one learns how to render service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, direct service, then that is the ultimate goal of religious principles. In the Bhagavad Gita also, Lord said, sarva dharman parityaj. You give up all types of religious principles. Sarva dharma. Sarva dharman parityaj. Mam etam saranam vraja. Simply just surrender unto me. Because this is religion. Anything which does not teach how to surrender to Krishna or God, that is not religion. Therefore I said in the beginning, there is some difference of meaning between religion and dharma. Religion and dharma. Religion is a faith, but dharma is the original characteristic of religion. And here, Krishna says that you give up all types of faith, because we have created so many faith within this world, according to time, circumstances, country, atmosphere, everything. We have got different faith. But Krishna says, it is not the question of faith, it is the question of actual relationship. Because every living entity is part and parcel of Krishna, and the duty of part and parcel is to render service to the whole. Therefore, Krishna came to establish this type of religion, this third class religion. Sarva dharman parityaja, mam etam saranam vraja. So, any religion. Now, you should understand Krishna as God when you speak of Krishna. Last week I explained that if there can be any name of God, there are many thousands of names of God. Somebody says, God has no name. Yes, God has no particular name. Because as I explained, God's name is attached according to his activity. Just the other day I explained, God appears as the son of Nanda Maharaj. So he is called son of Nanda. That is another name, Nanda Nandana. Nanda Nandana means one who gives pleasure to Nanda. So everyone's son, child, gives pleasure to his parents. So see, Krishna, by his activities, childhood activities, he gave pleasure to his father and mother, Jasodhananda. Therefore he is known as Jasodhananda, Nandananda. He was lover of Radharani. Therefore he is called Radharaman. In this way, Krishna has got different names. God has not defined man according to his different activity. But his real name is Krishna. Krishna means all attract. He attracts everyone. Krishna attracts both the non-devotees and devotees. Devotees are very much attracted to Krishna to render service. And non-devotees are attracted to Krishna to kill him. But everyone is attracted. Somebody is attracted to vanquish God. That is also another attraction. Indirect attraction. If I always think of my enemy, how shall I vanquish him? That is an attraction. And if I think of somebody, of my friend or somebody, how shall I make him happy? That is also attraction. So there are two classes of man in this world. One class is trying to serve God, another class is trying to kill God. There is no third division. So those who are trying to kill God, that is an attraction. And those who are trying to serve God, that is also attraction. Therefore, God is all attraction. Just try to understand whether this definition is complete. The Krishna means all attraction. Therefore, Bhagavad says, Krishna Sum Bhagavan Swayam. There may be many gods according to our conception. God means all-powerful or full of our definition in the Vedic Shastra. God means full of all opulence. There are six kinds of opulence to become rich, to become very powerful, influential, very much famous, very beautiful, very wise, and very much renowned, unattached. The six kinds of opulence, when they are found in fullness, somewhere, that is God. This is the definition of God. These six kinds of opulence. We have seen many rich men, but if you find out somebody that nobody is richer than him, then he is God. We have seen many men, wise men, but if you find out somebody, nobody is wiser than him, then he is God. In this way, the six opulences, when they are fully represented in one person, he is God, he is Krishna. When Krishna was present on this planet, he exhibited all these opulences in fullness. Nobody could conquer him. Nobody was richer than him. Nobody was beautiful in the history of the world. We cannot compare with Krishna anybody as more rich, more beautiful, more wise in this way. Therefore, Bhagavat asserted Krishna through Bhagavan Swayam. The original personality of Godhead is Krishna. So, this Bhagavad Dharma is, if anyone is taught how to love Krishna, that is first class. Savai punsa paro dharma. Yato bhakti adho khasi. What kind of bhakti? Now there are sometimes motives. If I want to render such service unto you in this material world, I make friendship with you, I flatter you, I invite you at home to give you something to eat. But generally there is some motive. That if I can make friendship with this man, I execute such and such motive through him. Here it is said that when you render service to God or Krishna, there may not be any motive. That is not service. That is not pure service. If you have got some motive that I render service to God or Krishna for this purpose, for this particular purpose, then it is not very first class religion. If you want to serve God with some motive, motiveless, or with no cause, or with apratihata. Apratihata means it cannot be checked. If you want to render service to God, it cannot be checked at any circumstance. Nobody can say that because I am poor, I cannot serve God. No. God can serve both by the poor and the rich without any difficulty. Because it is not material affair. When there is material transaction, if I want to purchase something, then I must have the requisite money to purchase. It is conditioned. But if you want to render service to God or Krishna, there is no condition. Therefore, ahoituki, apratihata, it cannot be checked. Because I am born in particular type, a particular time or particular country, I cannot render service to Krishna. That's not a fact. Anywhere, any part of the world, any part of the universe, any man, in any condition, he can serve Krishna. There is no impediment. Aho yutuki apratihata. And when that type of religion is followed, to serve the Supreme Absolute without any motive and without any impediment, then you will be happy. Jayatma suprasidat. You are wanting happiness, peace. So, if you try, if you learn how to love Krishna without any motive and without any impediment, then you will be happy. This is the program of Krishna consciousness. To make everyone happy. Atma, jayatma suprasidati. Prasidati means fully satisfied. There are many examples. Just like Dhruva Maharaj, he went towards the God with the motive. His father did not accept him on his lap. His stepfather insulted him that you cannot sit on the lap of your father because you are not born in my womb. Stop there. So, he went towards the God in the forest with the motive. He was a Kshatriya. He was determined that I must have my father's property. And everyone thinks like that. Some motive. But his mother advised that your determination, your this promise can only be fulfilled if Krishna helps you. Otherwise, it is impossible. So he went to worship Krishna. But actually, when he met Krishna face to face, he said, Shami kita kosmi varangana jasi. my dear Lord, simply by seeing you, I have become satisfied. I don't want anything more from you. That is the result of pure devotion. Even one goes to God for with a motive, but if he actually becomes a devotee, he becomes motiveless, no more motive, simply by association, simply by serving God, he is so satisfied that he has no more demand that I want this. That is recommended here, savai punsa paro dharma, jato bhakti gadho khaj. If we can promote ourselves, elevate ourselves to the standard of loving God without any motive, without any return, sometimes we go to God for some return. That is motive. So, no. God should be loved as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us. Āśrīṣṭa-bhāpādana-tāṁ atinastu-māṁ manamāhatāṁ karotuvā-adarsanāṁ. Sometimes, just like Guru Maharaj went into the forest to see God. But here, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches, manamāhatāṁ karotuvā-adarsanāṁ. If you break my heart perpetually, but by not being present before me, he doesn't say that you want to see God. Doesn't matter. Why I shall see God? He is busy. Why shall I call him to become present in my presence? No. Although I am broken-hearted, I would have been pleased to see God. But doesn't matter if he does not come. That is pure devotion. I served God so many years and still I could not see him. Give us this love. Let me go to Maya. That is not devotion. That is motive. I wanted to serve God with a motive. As far as the motive is not fulfilled. One German friend, my godbrother, he said, in the last war, in the First World War, all manpower went to the active field. So the sister, generally woman, left. Woman means sister, mother or wife. So they went to church. My husband may come back, my brother may come back, or my son may come back, but nobody came back. So they become atheists. Because they went to the church with some motive, and the motive was not fulfilled, they become atheists. Therefore, this type of devotion is not pure devotion. Motive, God, is not made for supplying your order. Because he takes service, he does not serve anyone. See, if we want to bring God for our service, we may be disappointed. Because God does not agree to serve anyone. His master, supreme master. How we can expect that God will come to serve you? But God supplies everyone's necessity. But if you want more than your necessity, that is a different thing. That may not be supplied by God. Therefore, we should not approach God with a motive. We should simply approach God to love Him. That's all. Without any reason, that is pure devotion. That is described here. Savai punsa paro dharma. Jato bhakti radho khaj. If you want really peace by worshipping God, by rendering service to God, then you should learn how to love Krishna without any motive. That kind of love will never be checked, will never be hampered in executing the devotional service, and that is first class. Thank you.